Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go! What's going on, everybody? It's McLean. It's Gramlich. It's the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Just before we get going, if you guys could go on iTunes, subscribe, give us a nice little rating, a review even. Love to hear from you guys and things that you might want to see, any questions you might have. But y'all, we are so excited to introduce our first ever guest on this podcast, Mike Golic Jr. He played offensive line at Notre Dame, so we are welcoming him with open arms.
Oh, you O-linemen. Always. It's truly a brotherhood, those O-linemen. Mike is all over ESPN, but most recently you'll find him co-hosting a new show on ESPN Radio with WNBA All-Star, former Stanford baller, current member of the LA Sparks, Chinne Agumike. And their show engages with fans while discussing topics of the day, looking ahead to the night's events. He's in everything. You can find him all over the place at ESPN.
You literally can. We really enjoyed our time with Mike. Hope you guys like it. Here we go.
Number one, Mac, on the podcast today, Mike Golic Jr. Man, we're so excited, Mike, that you would take the time to join us. And how's it going so far?
Wow, honored to be the first guest, first and foremost, guys. I had no idea I was breaking new ground on this. So honored to be the first guest on this. But I'm doing well. I think I'm like you guys. It's nice to feel that sort of busy feeling that comes along with football season again after, you know, thinking we might not get it for so long.
Okay, I have to know what went through your mind, Mike, when – so I know you played at Notre Dame, right? Your dad played at Notre Dame. You guys are a big Notre Dame family. And Notre Dame has been independent forever and ever and ever. They are Miss Independent. I mean, they don't want to be tied to anyone. And then you hear this summer that Notre Dame is going to be in the ACC for this season in football. They're in there everywhere else. What was your reaction to that news?
Man, everyone's going to hate us even more. Like, I feel like we sit around and the independent thing really has become a tired act for the rest of college football. And I knew going into this, people were going to be upset because a lot of people wanted the ACC to sort of strong arm Notre Dame, say, no, we're not going to do this. But in all honesty, it was something that I thought was exciting because I knew this year was going to be difficult. All the conferences going to conference only and a chance to do something we've never done before. And I give a ton of credit to the ACC for looking at this instance and understanding, all right, everybody can benefit from this, not turning it into some power struggle in this situation. The conference and Notre Dame have a great relationship in all these other sports. And so it made sense, even though I knew it was going to be something that everyone else was going to be mad about.
Mike, I love it. I think this it's true. It's not true. Everybody loves Notre Dame, man. So I think from my perspective, I'm happy you're here. But let's just dive in a little bit more about them. You know, what have you liked, what you've seen so far? What do you need to see more from? And maybe start there. What do you need to see Notre Dame do a little bit better or more right now?
Yeah, I mean, they need more consistency out of Ian Book right now. I don't think there's any other way to really slice it. You know, a guy who's in his third year at starter at quarterback has to be someone we can rely on as a wide receiver group that turned over a bunch of talent, whether it was – to the NFL, you know, we've certainly yep. seen Chase Claypool doing his thing on Sundays for the Steelers
ballin'.
Right now.
Man, he is balling.
Dude, I'm so excited for that guy, too.
Me too.
It's like a minor tangent. I pounded the table so hard to try and let people know that this guy was incredible, and now the rest of the world's getting to see that. But as you're waiting for, all right, whether it's going to be Braden Lindsay, who's got so much talent, or Kevin Austin at the wide receiver spot, or Javon McKinley, like whoever's ultimately going to step up, Ian's got to be someone we can rely on to bring that group along, because right now the strength of the team is certainly up front. You bring back five starters on the offensive line, you know, the running back room, and Kyren Williams is produced in a way that people, I don't know, were ready or expecting. And so I think if you're going to compete, because listen, when you come to the ACC, it's all about how are you going to match up with Clemson. I think up front is an interesting battle, but I think right now for Notre Dame skill players, they're a step behind, and that's going to be what they need. You've got to be able to do a lot of things to even have a chance of competing with the juggernaut that Clemson is right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And you have to see that production, you know, on the outside, just continue to grow. You've got the players. I mean, I've seen them. I've seen those guys do it. I've seen them physically look fantastic, but again, just have to keep taking that next step. So again, you mentioned it, the offensive line, the running attack, it's been very solid. And really, we've seen a lot of solid running attack groups, you know, throughout the ACC. What offensive lines have improved or impressed you just so much this year? Because there's two or three, maybe four on the top of my head that have really played well.
Yeah, you know what? Like, and I'd start with, like, obviously it's easy to laud Clemson for just about anything at this point. But I think especially because you have so much skill talent, that offensive line rarely gets top billing in a lot of equations. And I look at like Jackson Carman, who's had so much skill for so long, really putting it together more and more as like a complete offensive lineman in the way he approaches things. I think Jordan McFadden, like, I think you've got two really good tackles on Clemson's offensive line. Yeah. It's a rock solid unit overall. I think they've become a really good pass protecting unit. So they're impressive. I think, you know, we've seen Virginia Tech's rushing attack put up gaudy numbers. I think they're a group that's not going to, and Mac, you know this, like, as offensive linemen, we get so enamored with finish and going out there and, you know, whooping someone's tail. And I don't think Virginia Tech's necessarily going to make it look like that, but they're incredible at just staying between their man at the ball. Like, they fit things up really well. I think the left side of that line with Christian's got a little bit more finish to it, but I think that group, and man, for me, like, I you know, Notre Dame's like an obvious answer for me in there. That group, right. I expect a lot of things from them.
It's almost like you forget about them, right? Or you don't want to talk about them. But I think you should, because I think those guys are dominating and playing really well.
I think they are. But I looked across the field yesterday. Notre Dame had a very uninspiring 12-7 win against Louisville this weekend. I look across on the other side, and, man, they lost Mekhi Becton. That Louisville offensive line put the cuffs on a lot of very good Notre Dame defensive linemen yesterday. Yep. And I have a ton of respect for Dwayne Ledford, who's their offensive coordinator, and I think one of the best offensive line coaches in college football. You turn on NC State tape from the last 6 years or so, and you watch a group that is well-coached across the board. Obviously, Coach Satterfield comes from a background that's used to pounding the rock in major ways. So I think those groups really so far have jumped off and impressed in a lot of ways. And again, Louisville's not a dominant group, but I think they're one that, relative to what they lost and how early they are in the process still, for me, I was blown away yesterday by how consistent they were across the board.
I agree.
I love letting you guys nerd out about the offensive line. Oh my gosh, you both love the O-line so much.
Yes, this is why. Yes. My fellow brethren, offensive linemen.
I love it. But I'm learning a lot, because that's the thing with the O-line. Let's be honest, you know, it's not what people turn to first, but the teams you just named, Mike, I mean, those are the teams that have surprised. When you look at Virginia Tech, who has been able to just run over people, it starts in the trenches. We know that for sure. When it comes to the Heisman discussion, and you were just on a show, I think Friday night, with our girl, Christine Williamson, give her a shout out, talking Heisman. And that's the one thing that Clemson has not been able to obtain, is a Heisman trophy. They've gotten close with Deshaun Watson, of course, but it didn't happen. Right now, when you look at Trevor Lawrence and Etienne, Etienne was great against Miami. Trevor Lawrence was ridiculous on Saturday. Is there a leader in the clubhouse for you with those two guys when it comes to the Heisman?
Yeah, I think it's Trevor. And I think a lot of that has to do with there's a quarterback bias in the award. But at the same time, and this is no disrespect, Travis Etienne is like – a next gen. He seems like a bigger version of Alvin Kamara, like the lower body strength, the unbelievable balance, showing off as a pass catcher this year. But Trevor Lawrence just does things that so few humans are capable of. Like, there aren't 32 quarterbacks that are paid to do this professionally that can do the things that Trevor Lawrence can do. And everyone lost their minds over Justin Herbert and what he's done so far in an NFL uniform. I said, strap a Hemi on that and then sprinkle in a little bit of that Patrick Mahomes flair, and now you've got what Trevor Lawrence is. And I think this year you're seeing, like, complete command of their offense. It's not just gaudy arm strength plays. It's not just firing out to these Amazon wide receivers, these monsters like T. Higgins and Justin Ross. Like, Amari Rodgers is fantastic. And as usual, Clemson's going to have talent there. But Trevor puts the ball in such impressive places. He operates. I watched the play, and I'm still not sure, Mac, you might be able to shed more light on me to this, because everyone sees, like, people run double screens a lot. Like, you'll fake it to one side, pump to the other. I saw Trevor versus Miami fake to one side, go to the other. A D-end was in his face, so he pumped, reversed, and then threw it back across. Now, I'm humble enough to admit that Clemson might just be walking the dog on everyone so much they're putting triple screens in, but that just looked like a quarterback who has the abilities, the gifts, and the confidence in himself to go out the other way. So he's doing stuff I rarely see, and so I got to call him the leader right now.
Yeah, there is no triple screen in that offense. That was all him. I mean, he is that good, that explosive. And like you said, that command of the offense to where all the details, I mean, he has it down to where he knows, you know, that second, third, first, fourth option and going all over the field. He's going to find his guys, and I think that's the biggest thing in what we're seeing.
Look, there's no doubt about that, Mac. And you know what, Mike, I want to get one more question in about that, because we always, you know, the world talks about Trevor Lawrence. He's all over. He's getting a little bit of the LeBron effect recently from the network that we all work for, and I think he deserves it because he's doing ridiculous things. I was looking, so this is a little surprise. We're making a cool graphic to post about you coming on Wednesday. And I was looking up some pictures of you to try to put in there. And I found one from Notre Dame, and you have got some lettuce. I mean, this like curly hair, kind of an afro look. So better hair in college, Trevor Lawrence, Mike Golic Jr. What's the answer?
You know what? And I appreciate you now as a 31-year-old.
I'm just confessing that I was creeping on you on the internet, basically.
No, listen. And you know what? In sports media, I call that doing our homework.
Because right, right.
Just that's giving right, out right. Free notes on social media. So you're right on top of that. But as much as I was a fan, because I had very natural curls, like there was some good bounce in that, and the humidity got going, that thing really almost got afro status.
Right, right.
I got to give this one to Trevor. I remember the year Clemson won the title, Trevor's freshman year, seeing him at media day out in Santa Clara. And I just walked away to someone and I said, 18-year-old kids shouldn't be allowed to look like that, period, but definitely not with the lettuce. I don't know what product he uses. I don't know what his varietal of shampoo or conditioner is, but he seems to be a guy that's got a routine with that, and I appreciate it. He is on a collision course to be that next Head and Shoulders guy. Like him, Troy Polamalu, and Patrick Mahomes seems no like doubt. The trio made in heaven.
It's an absolute no-brainer. And I always say, too, when Trevor will post pictures or whatever and his hair looks exceptional, from a female perspective, that doesn't just happen. You don't just roll out of bed and that's your hair.
Is there a little jealousy? Is there a little jealousy?
Oh, no doubt. He has better hair than me. I need the secrets, and I think the people deserve for Trevor to give us the secret. So I hope one day we get to know.
Kelly, and I think you're right on that too, because you're right. Trevor came on the scene with his hair very early. I remember like recruiting pictures where it would have that bounce and that kid, the sun would catch it right. He was getting asked about this early. And so you're right. That dedication to the process takes place off the field. And it's good that we recognize
it. And you know, it's going to pay off in a couple of months. It's going to pay off big time when those marketing checks start rolling.
Right.
But you know, Mike, I want to transition now that we've got some of the jokey, laughy stuff out of the way about, you know, Notre Dame and offensive lines and Heismans. I want to get really serious with you. And, you know, you're a big shoe guy. I am too, but you're on another level. So I've got to know, what is your favorite pair that you own right now?
Favorite pair that I own is a no-brainer, the Air Max 97.1 Sean Wotherspoons from, I think, 2 or 3 years ago now. I've got this weird infatuation. Sean Wotherspoon, for anyone that doesn't know, owns a vintage surf shop in Los Angeles. I think it's called Round Two. And he won Air Max Day, that contest where they collab with artists for, you know, Nike's Air Max models. Yep. And he's done shoes with Asics now, with Adidas. But those Nikes, they're like corduroy. They're every color. So basically for me, I can match them with anything because I don't have to think about it because they've got every color. And they're built to wear, which means I don't have to worry about scuffing them, getting them dirty. So they are very much lineman shoes, but of the like hype beast variety.
Dang, that's another level. I need the hookup there where I can just throw them on and not even worry about them. So we've got the favorite. How about this? The worst shoe purchase you've ever made. Ooh. Where, you know, you're looking on the apps, you're looking on StockX, whatever you look at, sneakers, and you're like, man, these are so cool. I'm going to have them. And then they get shipped to your door. You open up the box and you're like, dude, what was I doing? You're kind of questioning your entire existence, honestly. So what was that pair? Because I know it's got a – every shoe guy has that.
You know what? I'll give you the biggest what am I doing here moment I've ever had with shoes. So you guys know the Netflix show Stranger Things?
Yep.
So of course,
Nike,
of course.
Nike did a like a Stranger Things line of shoes that they came out with, like a couple of Hawkins High pairs that were supposed to look like the high school colors. And they did one that was supposed to be the upside down. And so it was a pair of Nike Cortez. So like real basic model shoe. And basically it's covered in like twine. And the whole idea that they put out there was, you're supposed to either cut, fray, or burn the shoes, and it will reveal a different color underneath. And it's supposed to look like the upside down. It's all gritty and scary looking. And so I thought, all right, cool. Like, I love buying unique shoes. I don't want to wear something that looks like what everyone else has got. So I was like, all right, perfect. I can do this on my own. 5 hours later, as I failed to properly burn, was cutting with like sewing scissors and got through one of the shoes, I quickly realized this is way more effort and creativity than I'm capable of. So now I've got those shoes still. One of them is completely untouched, the left shoe, and the right shoe looks like a complete upside down massacre. And I was like sweating, and I was like, oh, I'll be cool and do a time lapse video, and that flamed out. So all of that was just like, that was the moment I realized maybe I'm doing too much and I need to leave the sneaker creation to the professionals and just wear them for now.
That's a great point and great advice for everyone out there. Any sneaker guys, buy the shoes already done. You know, we are not creative enough to have any twist on it. That's hilarious.
I would completely agree with that. Mike, when did you, okay, one thing I've noticed on your new show with Chinne Igumike, who as a big women's basketball person, I've always loved her. And I think that show is just excellent. You guys have great chemistry. When did you start to feel like, okay, I feel comfortable legitimately twerking on national TV?
You know what? It's it's one of those things that unfortunately happens naturally. Like for years, I actually have to give a lot of credit in this to another one of our colleagues, both at ESPN and with you guys at the ACCNet, Jordan Cornette, because Jordan was kind enough to sit in with us one Friday, and Chinne and I are doing the show 3,000 miles apart, and you know it's going really well. But Jordan in studio heard that song. And all of a sudden, he started to get a little wiggle. And we sort of just looked at each other like, are we doing this? And then you had two big guys just twerking in the middle of this studio. It made its way over to ACCNet when I was able to go on with him and Dallin one time. So I think what it is Jordan and I just bring out the best and or worst in each other. Chinne only multiplies all of that energy. And so, yeah, I'm not proud of it, but at the same time, I am, because this is who I've always been on dimly lit bar dance floors for years, and I feel like the radio and TV audience deserves to see that side of me.
I love that.
That's so amazing. Good. That's amazing. You know what? Just if it's natural, you got to let it out, right?
That's right.
Got to be who you are.
That's what it's all about, right?
That's what
like
it's
we're
all,
all
about.
Just you know, radio, podcasts, like we get to be extremely ourselves on all of this, and mine just involves getting up and shaking what my mama gave me.
Well, Mike, man, we appreciate it so
much.
We got to end on that.
I mean, that's the perfect way to end, right, Matt?
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing else we can do. More than insightful. Appreciate your analysis and fun, man. Just really every time, you know, you're on our screen, on our airways. So thanks for joining us, guest number one. And, you know, really, really appreciate you.
Guys, appreciate you having me. Very grateful. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
What a great first guest. That was our guy, Mike Golic Jr. Shout out to Mac for having the O-line connection.
That's
to
right.
To get Mike Golic Jr. on the pod. But we hope you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Instagram. You probably already are because he's a superstar. And that was just really fun. We got into some topics. I'll just put it this way. On the rundown sheet of just possible topics to discuss with Mike Golic Jr., twerking was not on there.
So it just came to you, right? Literally.
That was very natural, you know, just
the
like
universe
he said.
Provides.
Yes, exactly. I just felt like it was, I felt called to ask him about that, Matt. let's get to, because it's Wednesday. We're going to start having guests on most Wednesdays at this point in football season. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to try to bring different people on who, you know, cover football at the highest levels, but also have ties to certain ACC schools and get different perspectives. So we're excited about that. But it's also Wednesday, and so we have to get to our ACC of the week, our athlete, our coach, and our craziness of the week. Mac, let's start with you. Who was your athlete of the week in this league?
So there were a lot of great performances, obviously, this week, Kelly, but no one I was more excited to watch to get back into the starting lineup than my man Hendon Hooker at Virginia Tech. He balled out, led his team to a more than impressive victory. Really, I thought it was going to be a hard-fought game and maybe come down to the wire, but man, he just makes their offense so different. 275 all-purpose yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, Virginia Tech just takes it up a notch and is in a different gear when he is QB1, when he's back there controlling everything and just looks so comfortable, looks so smooth. You know, I thought it was going to be interesting. Are there any nerves in this first start? Is there going to be anything affecting him negatively? And that was a heck nah. Heck nah. He looked
heck nah.
Fantastic. Again, 11 for 15, passing the ball, really threw it well. I would like to see that open up a little bit more and him throw the ball all around. But, hey, when you can rush for 350 yards, I mean, that's what you do. It's your bread and butter. So I had Hendon Hooker this week.
That's what you do. And you guys, you know the hard eyes emoji? That was you and Mike Golic Jr. talking about Virginia Tech's O-line.
That's right.
Oh, you guys were just – it was just a great moment. I could feel the moment happening. My athlete of the week, Mac, you're going to be shocked. It's Trevor Lawrence, who is the best player in college football. And I think what's really crazy about what Trevor did, look, 75% completion, 404 yards in the 404, which is very fitting, 12.6 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns. He had the one pick, which was kind of surprising just because he hadn't thrown a pick yet all season, hadn't thrown a pick since the Louisville game last year. But all those numbers, all career highs in yards and touchdowns in one half
and one series of the game.
Right. Mind in the one blow. Series, they Mind didn't blow. Do much. So exactly. It's kind of really just one half. Here's okay. Do you know what I was thinking of when I was watching that game? He reminds me of, and you're going to love this reference, Mac, 2015, 2016, Steph Curry, because he goes off. I know, Mac, you're like, what? And you know how much I love Steph. You know how much I love Steph. So this is high praise. Steph Curry was the 2-time MVP and rarely played in a fourth quarter.
Yep.
That's the parallel there, is you get all your numbers, you get it all done in half or
which is crazy
half or maybe 2/3 of what everyone else is getting to put up these numbers. That's where the parallel is. And he's must watch TV. He makes it look super easy. He's not tapping the chest and doing all the stuff, Steph shimmy. He's not shimmying, but I see that parallel because he played 30 minutes, 31 minutes, and he put up 404 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Anytime that we can connect, football and basketball together, I'm with it 100%. I love that. And I see that too. And that's a great point that you talk about what these numbers could be if he played a full 60 minutes. I mean, it's scary. I mean, I think I saw you tweet, you know, what would his stats be if he intentionally played that entire
game? Give me the stat line
against
Georgia Tech. I mean,
I'm thinking easily 708+ touchdown. I mean, like, not even questioning it. I mean, the rate that he was zooming the ball all over the field. But again, Clemson will never do that, and potentially why they'll never have a Heisman Trophy winner. Now, I think your odds are looking really good right now, but that's the reason, you know, up to this point why we won't see it, because they rotate guys, they get guys in, and that's just what they do. So how about C? Let's go to this next C here.
All right.
I'm going to let you start. I want to hear your coach. I'm excited to hear this.
Coach of the week. I'm going to give some props to Justin Fuente, who, you know, I think the media in general has been kind of hard on Fuente, and it's not that he hasn't deserved it. Look, he took over for Frank Beamer. He had a great year one, and then things have fallen off a bit. They had some COVID issues. The transfer portal has been wide open during his time there at Virginia Tech, but he's kept this team together during just really bad COVID issues. They've probably had the worst COVID issues of any team in the ACC, even ones that have had games postponed recently. And for them to get up off the mat after a heartbreaking loss to North Carolina, that loss was tough to swallow. And then they play a good BC team and they just pound them into the ground running the ball. Hendon Hooker looks great. I think Virginia Tech, like you said, Mac, you have them, I think, third in your ACC accounting. You have them moving up. They're going to move up into the top 20, I would imagine, nationally. I want to just give props to Fuente for coaching a great week.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think he's done a really good job. And again, just how he gets to where he gets, sometimes I question. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're winning. They look great. They face the most adversity with the COVID stuff, like you mentioned, of any team that I know. And you know, they're getting wins. So my coach, and this probably isn't shocking at all, but Mike Norvell getting a top five win, first one at Florida State with all the adversity they've faced, just as a team, you know, things coming out about what was or was not said, how testing is going. You had a couple of players say, you know, we don't feel safe. And then everybody else said, no, man, what are you talking about? So maybe some Twitter fingers there. And then him, I mean, him having COVID and having to sit out, not be with his team. So all of that adversity, just where Florida State is right now, seeming to get those guys to play a lot harder against UNC than I've really seen them compete all year. So that's great to see. So you've got to be excited. It's great for the conference to have Florida State to be better. You know, the ACC is going to be better when they are better and get more recognition. You know, we talked about on the huddle, do people look at the ACC, see that, you know, Miami or Florida State are not having a great year, which, of course, Miami is so far, and they just discount it? You know, they just say, all right, check it off. Clemson's going to run it, and everybody else do their thing. So I think to see those guys, to see Virginia Tech, to see Miami, along with Clemson, start to get back to that, you know, consistent, just great football level of play, and everybody else kind of fall in line. That's what we really need to see from the conference.
And that there's some synergy there between our two coaches, because I wouldn't put Virginia Tech in the FSU-Miami category just in terms of, you know, college football history and stuff. But Virginia Tech is the other high-profile program in this league that is a football school, football program that needs to be good.
For sure.
So I think that's a good sign for the ACC too. Mac, I'm going to give you my craziness here.
Come on. You wouldn't tell me this. I'm really excited to hear it.
I hate to do this because you know I love Mac Brown, okay? I grew up in Austin.
Oh, no. Poor
I grew
Mac.
Up watching the Horns. Mac introduced – or sorry, yeah, you, Mac, introduced me to Mac Brown at ACC kickoff 2 years ago.
That was
ago,
a cool moment, by the way.
And I almost
that
fainted.
That was really cool.
Tell the people that story real fast.
So we were there, and it was football, right? Obviously, because he was there. It was ACC football, and you know, I saw him, and I just knew that connection. And I believe you and your grandpa had a good connection with him.
My grandpa was president of the Longhorn Club,
right?
The
so
big
they
thing
knew
in
each other.
So they knew each other, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just knew how special that was, and I was like, Kelly, you got to meet him. I would love to introduce you. And you know, their guy, I think it was the SID. He's like, oh, he's got to go. I'm like, listen, bro,
he's busy.
Just calm down. She's going to say hello. He's going to say hello. And it was great. It was really cool. So it was fun to be able to do that. Cause again, he's an absolute legend. So now that I've showed the people how important he is to you, go ahead and tear him down.
And he was so nice. And it was such a cool moment. I called grandpa like right after that. Cause I even mentioned my grandpa to Mac, and Mac said, oh yeah, I remember him. And I'm not sure if he did or if he was just being nice, but it made grandpa's, oh, I don't know, year. So it was great. That being said, Mac Brown has still never defeated Florida State. That's the craziness of the week.
That's a crazy stat, Kelly.
Yes, I know.
That it's just when you look at it, it's just like how. And you think about the teams that he faced back, you know, the first time he was at North Carolina. And you're like, okay, it kind of makes sense. And then this one, I mean, I was so confident. I was so confident in them.
We
in
all
team.
Were.
Yeah,
in North Carolina. And that's Mac Brown's alma mater. So you know
exactly.
It's
which
painful.
I did not know that. Did you know that before like today, this weekend? Like
I
before
did.
Saturday, I did not know that.
Because you think, oh, maybe he went to North Carolina or something. But no, he actually went to Florida State.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Did not know. So I'm going to give you some crazy, which, you know, people probably saw this one coming for obvious reasons. But Clemson 73, Georgia Tech 7. The largest margin of victory ever in the history of the league between ACC opponents. I mean, that was wild just to see that production. And really, it was a bunch of guys doing it, right? It wasn't like we just were talking about it. Trevor was not in the whole game. He played a half, and other guys came in and really started to dominate. So the Tigers are firing on all cylinders. We mentioned on the show Monday, if you're Georgia Tech, just throw the tape away. Don't watch it.
Throw it out.
Your team is going to be good. You have great players. It's just going to take time. And you want to get to the level that Clemson is at. So right now in your growing process, that's going to be a really hard thing. But you got to keep going. Clemson, you've got to be feeling really, really good. You're executing at a very high level in all three phases. Good to see that field goal team remember how to block, because that was obviously a key component and can really make a difference. But, you know, if you're a fan of the Tigers players, coaches, you're feeling really good right now.
Mac, I have a quick question about this, because you were on some Clemson teams. I brought up when Clemson was blown out by FSU a couple weeks ago. So now I'm redeeming myself.
Little role reversal. Come on.
Yeah. In 2015, you guys went down to Miami and beat them 58-0. It's kind of similar to something like this, just a real demoralizing loss for the opponent. But for Clemson in that moment, you're feeling like you're on cloud nine. So what does Dabo Swinney and the staff do that next week? You enjoy the win Sunday, I'm assuming, but then Monday, Tuesday, I'm sure he has to feel like he needs to bring his team back to earth a little bit to get ready for the next opponent.
You know, I think where they are at this point in their, you know, just culture and where they are as a team, I don't know if you have to do that as much anymore. I think that's where they are. And why, another reason why I say that is because you look at how the game went. Superstars played a half. Everybody else got in. And this is what they do. Really, even if it was a closer game, if you deserve to play, and if you've earned that time in practice or other situations, you're going to get in. I mean, that's what this staff does. They play everybody. And I think it's very impressive, even more so, just, you know, they had 17 people catch a pass. They had 10 people rush the football. They had over 30 people make a defensive stat. That's not just play. That's like do something on the defense and register a sack. So that is just an unbelievable – and four guy, a punter, three quarterbacks and a punter threw a pass. So it's like they rotate guys, and they understand that these opportunities are so valuable for their entire team, the growth of their team recruiting. Come to Clemson, you're going to play. Okay, great. We have the best quarterback in the country in Trevor Lawrence, number one quarterback in the country, commits, and he's going to play right now. You're not going to have to just sit. Now, albeit it's not going to be your team and you are going to have to wait your turn, but you're still going to get in there in meaningful moments and do stuff to help win a football game for your team. So I think that's really been the biggest difference, that everybody really understands that. They're going to watch that film completely through. There was a ton of great things. There was also some big drops.
Yep.
There was also some key miss assignments. So that staff is going to do a great job in turnovers. Yeah. So that staff, the two best players, Coach, that was the first thing Coach Sweeney said, was our two best players turned the ball over. Now, albeit they made up for it, but they turned the ball over. So they're going to do a great job of really breaking this thing down. Watch it with first string through fourth string, fifth string, whoever got in there and played, and they're going to mark the tape and they're going to go through it. So I think that they're just at such another level right now, Kelly, where I'm not going to say they expect to win 70-7 every game, but when they do, it's not like it's shocking. It's not like
it's just business.
It's just business. It's just the next game and it's what happens. So, you know, I think that's the biggest difference for these guys and just re-locking in and getting ready for, you know, your next opponent.
Do you ever get jealous? Last question. Do you ever get jealous when you see a Niles Pinckney scoring a touchdown?
As a former big man,
do you get jealous?
I knew where you were going. And you just keep trying to depress me on this podcast with your silly questions about Florida State. And if I'm jealous that I didn't get in to score any touchdowns, because the answer is yes. And, you know, it was funny. Maybe, 2017, I think, was when they really started doing it. You know, I text Coach and I said, you know, you're unbelievable. You wasted my talents and did not let me run the ball, take a snap at quarterback. And it's just, I'll never forgive you.
You would have
been. Of
course,
jokingly.
You would have been one of those guys as like a captain and everything that probably would have gotten that chance, even though they're normally defensive guys, but would have gotten that chance maybe if you were 2 or 3 years later.
Listen, I would have
so close.
100% got that chance. And like I said, I would have been the quarterback, probably handing it off to somebody, and then I would have pulled it, you know, got tackled for like a 1 yard loss. And
oh, you would run a zone read as a quarterback?
Like zone read. Oh, yeah. No, I would have scored for sure. But yeah, I am jealous, Kelly. And you know what? I don't appreciate that you brought that up.
Well, look, at this point, it's maybe best we end the pod, considering there might be some strife between us at this moment.
Oh, man. Guys, thanks for listening. What a fun episode that was. Hope to keep and continue to bring really, really fun guests that, you know, just add a little bit of swag, you know, to the show. But go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, you know, maybe drop a little 5-star rating. We'd appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.